Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And this week we are without the superfan. I think it's one of those exits. He had such a stellar episode last week, you know.
It's hard to top it.
It is. It's hard to top that episode. And so he was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave him hanging after that.
Costanza.
Yeah, yeah. That was hilarious, though. But instead, filling in his seat is Danielle Von Fitch once again. Welcome back.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me. So excited to be here again.
Of course.
Yeah. One of our very few returning guests.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I think only Jimmy and Vincent DeSanti have been on twice.
Oh, really?
No, Brian.
Oh, Brian. That's true. Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. His little role last time, which was absolutely hilarious.
That trooper suffered enough that should certainly count as a second visit.
Oh, yeah. My God. That whole bit where Mark had him picking numbers. I was crying laughing, and then listening to it again, I was crying laughing. It's just that's the hardest I've laughed on this show.
Brian, again, I'd like to extend my deepest condolences and apologies for having you go through that.
But yeah.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We thank you.
Then if Zara Mahler actually wants to come back again. I ran into her at Costco, I don't know, last spring, I think. And I just randomly ran into her there and we talked for a minute. And well, of course, we'd never met in person, but until then, I was like, hey, Zara. She looked at me like, oh, no. You know,
and crazy stalker,
yeah,
homeless guy.
I was like,
not the podcast guy.
Yeah. But she was like, you know, we talked a minute, and she said, oh, please have me back. That was so much fun. So we'll have to have
her back. Cool. We're a lot more spit and polish now than we were way back then. Like,
we were only 2 months in when we had her before.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like episode. It was single digit episode. Wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. No. Yeah. There was no. Mark was just a dream in Joe's head at that time.
Yeah, yeah. I think he still is some days.
Yeah.
A fever dream.
Well, Joe.
Matt.
What did you watch?
Danielle.
Danielle. What
Joe.
Did, what did you,
Matt.
What did you watch this last couple weeks?
I watched some stuff.
All right.
I watched on Netflix The Netflix. I believe it was a Danish film or Swedish. Somewhere over there.
My people?
Yeah. Yeah, those people, yeah. A new movie called The Conference, which I loved. The Conference is about a group of workers that are trying to... they're like a project team. They were trying to get a mall or shopping center built, and they've decided as a team they're going to take a retreat, you know, team building, that type of thing, at this remote series of cabins out in the woods, of all places, and there's some killings that go on. This is a fun, regular, good old-fashioned slasher. Mm. The part that I like the most about it is all of the characters are, I don't want to say likable, but at least appealing and are at the very least interesting. There's no like random, you know, ancillary characters that you barely get two words out of and, you know, they get killed first. Actually, I take that back. The first kill is kind of, you don't know the guy, but everybody else in the cast is interesting enough that it keeps you guessing long enough to say, well, maybe that will be their survivor, or that's who I should hitch my wagon to. I don't recommend watching the dubbed version. It's laughable, but it still is. It's fun. I watched it in subtitles, but that was really good. I think it's worth a watch. That's The Conference on Netflix.
Huh.
And the next thing I watched was The Exorcist Believer.
Ugh.
Oh, that
I
was terrible. Ugh. Oh, I couldn't wait for this movie to end.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of nonsense. Like, hey, remember when we made The Exorcist 30, 40, 50, whatever years ago, and this happened and that was really cool. And we're going to try to emulate that again. And now to make it twice as scary, we're going to have two girls that are possessed. Yeah. And it's just dumb.
Yeah.
It's not good at all. I don't recommend the second or the Exorcist at all.
It made Exorcist 2, The Heretic, look like a goddamn good masterpiece.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, and the ending was painful. Oh, God, that was terrible.
All of it was painful. I would have rather been possessed myself than watch the movie again.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went and saw it in the theater, and so I was like trying to justify that I still liked it. Because I paid that money to go see it in the theater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I should have waited for it on streaming.
I'm glad that I didn't get it when it – because it's been on streaming for quite a while at $19.99.
Yeah.
I almost broke down a couple times and did that. And I thought, nope, I'm going to wait until it's either way cheaper. And then it went down to $5.99, I think. But then at that same time, I heard it was coming to Peacock this last weekend.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, forget about it. I'm just going to wait for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even seeing it for, you know, what I consider to be free on Peacock, still not worth it.
No.
Like, I still feel like I got robbed and I should have my money back. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a rote exorcism movie that I mean, I saw the Pope's Exorcist this last summer. And I thought that was pretty hokey, but I thought it was better than this.
Yeah. You know? Honestly, this was an obligatory watch. This was just so that I can say I've seen it and say that it's not going to make my top 10 for the year.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
I think it might be my lowest rated movie of the year.
Mm.
New movies.
Yeah, it's close for mine, but it's not... It's not the worst.
Hmm. Anything else?
But I'm sure we'll get into what my actual worst is in a couple of weeks. Yeah, I watched one more film. I can't remember what it was on. I think it's Shudder. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's a Wonderful Knife. Yeah. It's on Shudder.
I watched that too.
It wasn't great. It was fun. It's a spinoff of It's a Wonderful Life. This girl stops a killer. And I don't know, if I say who the killer is that spoiling
it's revealed very quickly. So I don't think that's a huge spoiler.
I'll skip it. Anyway,
maybe.
She stops this killer, or this slasher, I should say. And then sort of regrets how her life went and decided one night, I wonder what my life would have been like had I not done that. And
no, she says she wishes she had never been born.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And so then she gets to see what her life had been like had she never been born. And that killer actually gets to carry out his evil plan.
Yeah.
And the only person of note that's in this film is Justin Long. I don't understand his fascination with, it seems like it's fake teeth or some sort of terrible, kind of Southern gentleman accent. I couldn't tell what he was trying to pull off, but it's still,
I thought he was hilarious.
I thought it was a fun movie. It's not a great movie by my standards, but it was still fun. It was a million times better than The Exorcist. So I would say if you got time to kill and you're just looking for something fun to pass on a Friday night, go ahead and throw on It's a Wonderful Knife on Shudder.
Yeah, I watched it. We watched it actually last night, I think. And I thought Justin Long was hilarious. Of course, Joel McHale is in it from.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
From Community. I'm not a big fan of him. I thought he was good in Community, but he's more of just
didn't
like
have much of a role.
Yeah. But I didn't recognize, I don't think anyone else is a known actor at all in the movie, but I thought it was just fun. It's corny. It's kind of fun. Yeah. I like
what do you expect from a movie that's you know, the horror version of It's a Wonderful Life.
I would have liked to have a bit of a difference between, like, after she kills the killer, and then a year later, we see their life, and she's miserable. But I would have liked to have, and I know they probably didn't want to bring down the tone too much, but it would have been nice to have seen more of a reason for her to wish she'd never been born. You know what I mean? She's almost suicidal, and it didn't seem like, what's the reason? Like, everybody's alive. Your family's actually thriving. You know, is it because you didn't get as good a birthday or Christmas gift?
Christmas gift, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that. But then it makes her family look like idiots, and I'm like, I don't get the, you know, it would have been nicer if that we'd really seen her, had a better catalyst for her saying, I wish I'd never been born. But that's whatever. It's not that deep of a movie. It's just fun. I thought it was pretty funny. I like the relationship between the main girl and the weirdo, the girl they call weirdo. But I liked that. I thought it was cute.
I like it, but I hate the ending where things that happen in her, you know, make-believe time are affecting her.
That was a little bit much. It would have been better if they would just, if that hadn't been the case. Yeah.
Right.
Somebody remembers something from when she's in an alternate universe and that doesn't make sense. And it didn't necessarily help things, you know?
No.
And there was no, it was never explained why that person would have remembered that, you know? There was no catalyst for her remembering that, but yeah. But it's ultimately, I gave it 3 cuts. It's fun. For me, that's an entertaining movie. I'd watch it again maybe next Christmas or in a couple Christmases, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't terrible. I had fun with it.
Like I said, I thought Justin Long was hilarious. He looked really weird. Because he's got these like blue contacts that don't look quite right. And you're not sure. It's probably a character choice. It's probably not the guy's real, even the character's real eyes. Because he's also, he fake tans. And he's got these terrible like dentures that are made to look like his teeth are way too perfect. I thought his voice was hilarious too. So he did crack me up. But it's definitely worth checking out if you're in for something fun with some, you know, I kind of got caught up in their little storyline. I thought it was kind of fun. So anything else, Joe?
That was it.
All right.
Was just moonlighting and Bob's Burgers. That's all I watched.
I need to get on the moonlighting. There's just so much on right now. It's hard to watch an old show because there's Fargo is fantastic. It's not horror, but I do have to mention that Fargo this season is terrific and it borders into horror territory because that last episode was set on Halloween. And it definitely had a lot of tension. I can't wait. When does the new episode come out? Tonight?
Well, technically tonight, tomorrow on Hulu.
Yeah. So
of course, for all of our listeners, we would have already seen it.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. So by the time this episode comes out, it's this new episode, this new season, I think is a strong, strong season. And it's interesting because there's a lot of tie-ins to the movie. Like there's things that happen that are just like in the movie, but with a twist to them. Like a woman gets kidnapped at the very beginning of the show. And the guy who walks it, one of the guys who comes in to kidnap her has an accent kind of like one of the kidnappers in the movie Fargo. And he walks up onto their deck and looks in their sliding glass door, just like the kidnapper does in the movie. So there's little things like that that are callbacks to the movie but they're not quite the same. It's interesting.
And they're gender swap stuff. Like instead of a son named Scotty, they've got a daughter named Scotty.
Right. Yeah.
The husband still works at a car dealership.
Yep. Yep.
There's even a scene where he's like on the phone with somebody about ready to give him a bunch of serial numbers or VIN numbers about cars.
Yeah. Yeah, but instead of it being fake VIN numbers, it seems like it's a legit.
It's just an alternate universe,
right,
of the original movie. So I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, And then there's a lot of things converging in the last episode that are, I hope, going to come out of this one. And then it's got some weird medieval tie-in. It's interesting. It's crazy. I think I can't remember his name. Noah Hawley, I think, is the guy who's the showrunner of Fargo. He's letting it all hang out. This is pretty amazing stuff. So
yeah.
Danielle, did you watch anything like any new movies or anything this last couple weeks? Since we last spoke to you, I guess. But
I watch movies every week, so I've realized that I watch way too much stuff because I was able to watch. I watched other movies in addition to all the movies for this podcast episode. So I'm like, how? I don't know. I don't know how I do it. But anyways, I think I'm obsessed. Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, no, I watched this movie called Deliver Us.
Oh.
On Prime? I believe it was on Prime. And let me just tell you that I'm glad I took an edible before I watched it because it was so weird. It was so weird. And honestly, I need to go back and rewatch it again because it seemed like it was two different movies in one. Like, it was about Deliver Us. Mm. And it's about this nun that supposedly has immaculate conception and she's pregnant with twins, a boy and a girl. And supposedly one is evil and one is good. And they send this priest guy, and I say guy because he turned into just being a guy, over to the convent or wherever to deal with the situation. And it was just literally so confusing and weird. And it was like halfway through, they leave the convent and become almost like normal people. And it's like a totally different movie. Like I'm thinking, did I miss something here? You know, but I don't know. It was so weird. Not good. Definitely not good.
Interesting. It's 2023, Matt. You might have to watch it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, I had high hopes. The trailer looks amazing. Hmm. But I don't know. I don't know what happened in the middle there. Don't know. I guess they decided to make a different movie halfway through. But
yeah, interesting.
It happens.
And then this one, I really liked this one. It's called Corner Office on Prime, I think it is, with John Hamm. And he plays a guy that works in an office. And he discovers this secret office in his office building that literally looks like it's out of Mad Men. And I was wondering if he was actually just going back to the show Mad Men every time he walked in that door. But man, it was really good. It was slow. It was like very tense, and all the little nuances, like really, you just had to pay attention to this movie, you know? And it was good. I liked it.
What did you see it on?
I think it was on Prime. I don't know. Like, I have to look it up. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember seeing the trailer for this a while ago. It was something I was trying to keep an eye out for. It did look good. Yeah.
It's good. It's good. I mean, I would call it like definitely like a suspense thriller mystery. I don't know. It was psychological thriller, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
So it was good. And then I watched, of course, I have to watch a documentary every other week when it comes out called. This one's called Mother God on HBO Max. and it's about that this lady that started a cult, and then she eventually passes away and turns blue because she's drinking like silver, some sort of silver tincture thing that were giving her, thinking it was going to heal her. Mm-hmm. And then they drive her to a motel. That's where she died. And then they drive her to a different place in the forest because they don't want to get caught. And then they put her in the back seat like a Weekend at Bernie's, and then put a hat on her and sunglasses so in case they got pulled over, they wouldn't get in trouble. And then they took her back to their house, the commune house, and then put her in her bed and put Christmas lights all around her. And she was there for like a month or so. Yeah. Wow. It's so weird, dude. I don't understand these people that get all wrapped up in these cults.
Yeah.
Like, are you that stupid? Like, literally all they did was sit around and take drugs and drink and, like, just hang out.
Wow.
Like, and they thought they were changing the world. Yeah.
Wow.
No, that's but crazy. I'm obsessed with these people that really, I don't know. They're just so bizarre.
Huh.
And a lot of them still believe it, even though she's dead. Like, they're still talking like she was the be all end all mother God, you know?
Wow. I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
It's good. It's only 3 episodes, so it's short, you know, on Max.
All right. Anything else?
I did watch Christmas, Bloody Christmas, but we talked about that a million times. I watched it with my mom. She's 81. She loved it. And then I watched it with my boyfriend. He loved it. So it's going to be a Christmas classic every year now.
I watched that like multiple times last Christmas, and I haven't watched it yet, but I definitely during my break will be cracking it out a few times probably. So I watched just a couple things that I haven't talked about yet. Chad Gets the Axe, which is on, I believe this is on, I guess I rented this. Yeah, and it's not great. It's a found footage. Basically, really. What is it called? It's not necessarily found footage, but
Joe's favorite.
Yeah, it's more like social media. I don't know that that's really found footage, but it's like it's these influencers, who go to a haunted house, and they're all super annoying, and like it never ends there. And I know they're trying to be annoying, because influencers are annoying, but it just goes overboard, and it's just not very good. There's nothing. It is a little bit like that movie we watched last year called Deadstream, but I liked Deadstream, and that lead guy was kind of annoying too, but not to this degree. The people on this are, it's really, really hard to watch. So I don't recommend that. I gave it 2 cuts. It's not a great movie. Again, The Exorcist, I didn't care for. And I think, that's pretty much it. Again, we've been watching Fargo. There's also this show we've been watching called Murder at the End of the World that is really, really good. It's more of a mystery, but it's really strong. It's made by the same people who made this show that was on Netflix a while back called The OA, and it's good, definitely worth checking out. And The Curse, I could mention that there's a show on Showtime called The Curse with Emma Stone, but I don't know if it's really going to be any horror. I thought it was just from the title, but I don't see any horror coming in that, so it's worth checking out, but I don't think it's going to be horror unless something changes at some point soon. So, I guess that brings us. There we go. I think they changed it here. I used to be able to just click these things and it would go, and now I got to double click. But
damn, so Riverside.
That brings us to our theme, which was my pick for the week, and that is psychological horror, or I guess psychological thrillers. All of these generally, I think, there were a couple in this, I think, that were straight up horror pretty much. But there were a couple also that I think are a little more psychological thriller than horror. But I hadn't seen any of these except for there was only one that I had seen before. So it was definitely it was one of those where I picked this pick to see Old Boy, really. I'd never seen Old Boy before, and I'd always meant to, so I came up with a theme where it would fit, and it basically fits with this. So let's start off with Old Boy. Let's start off, hit the ground running with Old Boy.
Can we lay down the ground rules about spoiling?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. It's up to you guys, I guess. But I kind of feel like there's a reveal in this movie. I don't know. I'd never seen it. And Mark had never seen it. Danielle had never seen it. So I think there's probably a lot of people who haven't seen it. And I don't know. When Aaron and Abe talked about it, did they spoil it? I don't recall now.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I know they're pretty careful about not spoiling.
We can try to avoid it.
Yeah, I mean, we could mention that there. I think people know that there is a bit of a twist in it. It's not what I was expecting, though.
But I will say to Matt, you and Danielle and Mark and anybody else that hasn't seen it, shame on you. It's 20 years old.
Well, you just saw it a couple years ago yourself.
No.
Really?
I saw the remake a couple years ago myself. I've seen the original 8 to 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, shame on you for watching it 12 years late.
Yes. And I think this was my fourth viewing of it, of the original.
Oh.
And I've seen the remake 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, it just was never really on my radar before. But this is directed by Park Chan-wook, who also directed The Thirst that we saw, the vampire movie that we saw earlier this year, right? And Lady Vengeance, which we also saw earlier this year.
Also wonderful.
Wonderful as well. Also, The Handmaiden, which I haven't seen yet, but I've always heard is good. He had a movie that came out last year called Decision to Leave that got great reviews. I want to see that too. And then Stoker. I don't know. Stoker almost made it in this one. And I love Stoker. I thought Stoker is a great movie. So he's a master of South Korean horror and just South Korean film in general. He also did a movie called Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, which is supposed to be really good as well. If we ever do just a revenge theme. Which I've thought about because I'd love another reason to watch Mandy again. But so this is a with no 15 years of imprisonment, 5 days of vengeance, with no clue how he came to be imprisoned, drugged and tortured for 15 years. A desperate businessman seeks revenge on his captors. So this is starring Choi Min-sik, Yoo Jae-tae, if I'm pronouncing these correctly, people that, you know, we don't know very well here, but I thought that the acting in this is fantastic. I think one of the reasons I just never watched it was that I'm not that into kung fu movies and Asian fight movies and that kind of thing. That I think that's more Joe's thing and maybe Mark, and so I just always thought that's what this was. But this was a very nuanced, deeply felt movie, and it does include, I think, a reveal that I wasn't expecting. I knew that there was a reveal, but I was expecting it to be something very different. So, and when the reveal comes, it was shocking, or I mean, not shocking, but I was not expecting it. So, Joe, what did you? Well, you can talk. You know, you've seen it before. What are your thoughts? It's the first time you get the chance to talk about it here, right?
Right. Love the film. I will say, I mean, I don't know that I even really consider this to be a kung fu movie, although it is present quite a bit in it. It's just a lot of fighting.
Right. When you see the previews for it or any clips of it, it's always that one scene where he's fighting down that hallway. And so I just thought that's what this was.
And it is known for that. And for anybody that has seen The Raid Redemption or the very first season of the Netflix Daredevil comic book series.
Yeah.
There's a very iconic shot where it's this long hallway scene and whoever our hero is takes on numerous villains and it's all just one shot, no editing, no other camera angles, no nothing. And this is where it came from.
Yeah.
And it's such a good well choreographed, iconic scene in this movie that it's that actually was the reason I had seen it like 10, 12 years ago, whenever I did originally. I'd heard the lore of that and I'm like, oh, this sounds great. I got to watch it. And I will agree, when I watched the trailer for it, I'm like, oh, I have to watch this because this looks like a lot of great action. You know, it was presented to me in the trailer as an action film.
Right.
But it is not that by any means. It is a psychological, just pardon me, but just mind fuck. It's just what this guy gets put through is horrific. He is imprisoned in a hotel room for 15 years, which I think is a really odd twist. Because normally when you think of somebody getting imprisoned for a considerable amount of time, I would think like sticking them in solitary confinement, which this is solitary, but he's got a bed, he gets meals sent to him every day, and he's got a television, which in my opinion is the worst part of this torture, because if you were in a room alone with your thoughts, that's pretty bad. But watching life go by on the television year after year after year, you're constantly being reminded that society's going on without you and you're missing it. And I think that adds a whole different level of psychological torture to it. I've never seen somebody eat a live squid before. That was really disgusting. I do have a question. I'm going to try to phrase this in a way for those people that have seen this, like you two, maybe you guys can. So there is a, when we get into the reveal, there is a woman who was believed to be pregnant. Know where I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was she in fact pregnant, or was it, hang on, I got the term written down. Pseudocysis, which is a false pregnancy where they think they're pregnant, but they're actually not.
I don't know. What made you think that
after seeing that was so many times? Well, because I thought they had mentioned that. Like, there was some debate in it. Like, was she really pregnant or was she not pregnant? Or did she just say she was pregnant? Or did she really believe that she was because of the act, but wasn't physically pregnant? I don't know. I didn't know what you guys had come up with as an answer for that or not.
That question never, I didn't realize that that was a possibility that it wasn't, you know.
Okay.
So it wasn't something that crossed my mind. And now I'd have to watch it again now to figure that out. Well, I don't know.
I'm sure somebody's asked this question before on the interweb. Yeah, probably. So, I can't get too far into it. I will say this. It's a fantastic film. If you haven't seen it, you must see it. I think both of you guys should probably go watch the remake with Josh Brolin and that Elizabeth Olsen. A lot of people hate it because it's not the original. I'm a little bit more open-minded than that. It follows it along. It's not a shot-for-shot remake or anything. They do change a little bit of the twist slightly, but it's the same gist of it. So you've already seen the reveal. You've seen the surprise. So it's not going to be shocking or anything for you. I kind of wish one of you guys had watched the remake first. What we put Mark through that one time. But anyway, I recommend both of these films. I'm a fan of the storyline. We'll just leave it there. And I think Josh Brolin did an excellent job making this character his own as well. And again, you get to watch these great fight scenes. You know, they sort of redid that whole iconic hallway action scene. So I loved it. I would gladly... I was going to say own it, but I guess now I do.
Yep.
So I can watch it whenever I want.
That's true.
Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Danielle, did you get a chance to watch this?
So let me preface this by saying that I came into the podcast a little late for this episode.
Yeah, totally. So, this was a last minute thing.
So when Matt asked me to do it, I was like, yeah, sure. And then you gave me the list of the movies. And this is the one that you said, well, if you can't watch them all.
Yeah.
You can, don't have to watch this one.
Because you
now
to...
I'm sad because it sounds amazing.
Yeah. I mean, she had very little time and she was going to have to buy it. And I didn't know whether it was still on that sale. Like when I bought it, when you guys got it, it was on a sale. So I didn't want to make somebody buy a movie that they, you know, I don't know if they're going to like it or not. And so.
Well, it sounds awesome now that I heard Joe's review.
Yeah,
so now I want to watch it.
Definitely worth checking out for sure. It's a great movie. So,
I'm definitely going to watch it after this now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch the remake too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I might check out the remake.
Or not.
And that's where I'm perplexed. I'm like, oh, maybe we could have Danielle watch the remake first.
Mm.
And then you probably watch it in order.
Yeah.
But I'm thrilled that you're going to watch it. And I'm very curious to see what you have to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited now too.
I will say this. Take your phone, throw it in the next room, turn off all the lights, lock the doors. Don't let anybody bother you. You really got to pay attention to this film.
Okay. I'll take an edible too.
Yeah, and that, yeah,
it makes it even funner and creepier.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. The next movie is
What did you think about it?
I talked about it at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was, you know, I wish I had seen it a long time ago. I didn't realize it. I just thought it was an action movie, and I'm not that into action movies in general, and for a long time, I really haven't been that into, like, you know, kung fu movies. And that's what all the marketing here, at least in the United States, that's all it focuses on, you know, and that's such a small part of the movie. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's a brutal film, but most of the movie isn't. So, all right, moving along, another foreign film, but this one is, I believe, a Norwegian film, it's a combination of Norway, I think, or is it Denmark? I don't know. Dutch, maybe. I don't know. One of those and French, because there's also parts of it are set in France. And that is 1988, or if you, depending on where you look, it also came out here, I think, here in the United States in 1990. And that is The Vanishing. Directed by George Sloyser, or I'm sure his name is pronounced differently, but who has seen this woman? Rex and Saskia are enjoying a biking holiday in France when, stopping at a gas station, Saskia disappears. So that's the whole setup. This couple, he refers to her as his wife there for a while, and then the rest of the movie, they refer to her as his friend. So I'm not sure what the relationship is. That confused me a little bit, but that could just be a language thing. I'm not sure. But obviously it's a romantic relationship, and he tells her at one point he loves her, and that seemed to me like it was the first time, but then he starts calling her his wife when he's looking for her. But they stop at a rest stop, and I think they were traveling to go biking someplace in France. They stop at a rest stop and they have a picnic and they're hanging out. This rest stop, you know, it's like a gas station, and then there's a little rest area next to it. What's that?
Matt, can I stop you for a second? I think I watched the wrong Vanishing movie.
Oh, you did? Did you watch the remake?
The Vanishing? What year
is the 1988.
Oh man, I watched the one from 2018, and it's like,
when I texted
Fisherman,
with Gerard Butler.
Oh no,
going on, I'm like, how did I miss this movie? And then I looked up, I just Googled the name, and I'm like, wait, is he talking about the wrong movie, or did I watch the wrong movie?
Oh no, you watched the wrong movie. So did you watch The remake, or did you just watch a completely different movie called
It's
the
a Fish? Completely different movie.
Oh no.
Fisherman. Like Fisherman in Ireland or something, and this boat
with
comes
Gerard
up to the
Butler's
island.
In it.
Was it a horror movie?
Yeah. It was a psychological thriller, Joe.
Oh.
It was a thriller. It wasn't bad.
It says drama mystery thriller. Yeah.
Oh no.
It's three lighthouse keepers on a remote Flannan Isle find a hidden trunk of gold leading to their mysterious disappearance.
Oh no.
See, there's a mysterious disappearance in there.
I kind of want to hear Danielle's review of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
No kidding. Oh, that's
funny. Sorry, Matt.
It's
Sorry,
two for
go
two.
Ahead.
Let's see if she watched any of the movies.
I did. I watched.
She's doing a really good job of filling in for Mark.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
You know.
She's the new super fan.
Oh,
that's funny. So
they can't pay attention and follow directions.
So the couple winds up at a rest area and they have a picnic. The girl says she's going to go into the rest area or into the gas station to buy some sodas. And the guy's waiting there and waiting there and waiting there, and she just never comes back. And she can't. And then, you know, there's some time him trying to find her, staying that he's there into the night with the manager, and like, where is my wife? And they never find her. So then it jumps ahead 3 years. And he's still looking for her. He's got a new girlfriend too, by the way, but she has to cut
way hotter.
That she is. But she's basically reduced to having to help him look for his ex. And she kind of is playing second fiddle, and he can't move on. He's stuck, still looking for her and obsessed with finding her. But part of the reason he's obsessed is the guy, and we see things through the killer's eyes. It's not a mystery. We know exactly who does this. But we don't exactly know how that begins to be revealed as we go on, as we also get to have flashbacks of the killer practicing what he's supposed to be doing, what he wants to do. How is he going to get these women into his car? And it's, I thought, absolutely fascinating film. I didn't find it scary. The story behind this is that Stanley Kubrick called the director and told him it was one of the scariest movies he's ever seen. And Stanley Kubrick's idea of scary is a little different from mine. I didn't find it that scary, although I found it, I mean, it's definitely eerie and disturbing. And the ending I did find frightening, what happens at the end, but it also seemed inevitable at the same time. Like I just knew what was going to happen. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I knew that this guy was not, things weren't going to be okay. But over the course of these years, part of the reason the guy stayed so obsessed is that he kept getting messages from the guy, the husband. He kept getting messages from the guy, from the kidnapper, and kept getting challenges to go here and go to this place and go to that place. And he would go there hoping to meet up with the killer, and he would not be there, or at least not reveal himself to the husband. And so eventually though, they do meet up, and I won't, you know, spoil it, because this is definitely one that I'm sure a lot of people have not seen, but I thought, I mean, there are not a lot of surprises in this at all, but the husband just finally, he just wants to know what happened. He doesn't want to exact revenge. He doesn't want to call the police. He just wants to know what happened. And the way that the killer decides to reveal what happened, I thought that was pretty chilling. And the ending I thought was pretty chilling. So I really loved this. I thought it was a great movie. So Danielle, what did you think of this?
She didn't watch it, man.
Well, this is the one that I didn't see.
Oh, duh.
So these two fishermen, I really like that.
Duh, that's
I
right.
I don't remember them being at a gas station, though. It's weird.
Yeah, the fishermen.
Must have went to the bathroom.
Right next to the lighthouse, yeah.
Yeah. That's
and I
funny.
Literally was thinking to my head, this reminds me so much of the Lighthouse movie. And I know you like that, Matt. I'm like, well, that's why I picked this, because it's just like the Lighthouse.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
So she didn't watch the movie. She didn't watch the remake. She watched something completely different. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
It was still on theme. It was still on theme.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Joe, I did follow the directions and do the homework and watch this movie. I like this movie. I just want to get that out of the way. But Rex is such a terrible person. Nobody likes Rex. He's fighting with his girlfriend or wife or whoever she is from the minute he's introduced. He's kind of just a big jerk. And and because of that, I could kind of care. I don't have an emotional attachment to this guy. I mean, I feel more emotionally attached to his wife, but he's just kind of a jerk.
What happened to her for her sake, not necessarily
for her sake and for mine, but for him,
I like that he's not a likable character, though. I thought that was refreshing. I like that he was kind of a jerk.
His arc, his story arc, his character arc is non-existent. He was a jerk, and he's still a jerk.
Yeah.
He's a jerk that I feel bad for, that he lost the one, you know, nice thing in this film.
Right.
I couldn't understand when they were driving along originally at the beginning of the movie and the car ran out of gas and they were trapped in that tunnel and they were worried about getting hit. Why not just put it in neutral and push it out of the way?
Yeah. Well, I think they were a ways in, but I don't know. Yeah.
But I mean, it's certainly better than leaving her, you know, with the car to get hit with no lights on her. Yeah. It didn't make sense. Also, when they got to the gas station.
Stop to get gas, like she said, you know,
right?
You should stop and get gas. And he
Rex
was like,
forget
about it. Yeah,
yeah. There was a scene where they're at the gas station, and he's parked over at the side, and he starts like digging through the car, like, you know, is she here or something? And a bag falls out of the back of the car onto the ground and spills out like 15 ping pong balls. Who's packing 15 ping pong balls to go away for the weekend?
That
was an odd choice.
Yeah, that was awesome.
One of my notes here. It was an odd thing with the killer. I do think it's neat that how they introduce the killer right off, and they're like, I guess I should say kidnapper. They introduce him, and not only are they introducing him, but they're showing you his family, his wife and his kids and how they interact with him. And at one point, his daughter accuses the kidnapper of having a mistress. And she said, well, once you reach a certain age, it's allowed. And I just thought that
you're
was
old
really,
enough.
I didn't,
you're allowed.
I did. Yeah. I'm like, is it 52? Is it 50? Cause I'm going to be 51
French.
In a couple of weeks. Yeah. Oui.
Yeah.
And then that was another note that I had was Rex's new girlfriend is way hotter than his old girlfriend. And if he can't let go of the past, I don't know how he snagged this one. Cause he's going to lose her.
Yeah. He did. He doesn't seem like the type of guy who would be drawing these awesome women, because his first girlfriend is super cool too. Like, she's pretty and she's super, like, she has a great personality and he's such a stick in the mud. And then he's even a more,
now he's got all this. He's got all this baggage.
Right. And his new girlfriend, I mean, she seems like she's got a good head on her shoulders. She's like business minded. You know, she's always dressed well and she's supporting him. Like, she's helping him run
all
these
campaigns.
What do you
want to do this weekend, dear? Oh, I know. Why don't you help me find my ex-girlfriend or ex-wife from 3 years ago again?
And he's borrowing. He's going into debt to find his ex, you know. It's interesting. Very interesting.
And I did think that one thing I was really disappointed about was when Rex finally confronts the kidnapper, he kind of slap fights him. And I'm like, really? The guy that took your wife 3 years ago and you think may have killed her, and you've got 3 years of pent up frustration and rage and you're slapping
him? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That scene I thought was a bit like, I don't, yeah. it didn't feel to me like he couldn't fight. It felt like they were stage fighting on camera, which right. just doesn't work.
It was more like the fight scene on the stage at the end of Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
When they're doing the musical right. number.
Yeah.
I do say that I totally disagree with Stanley Kubrick, but that's not the first time. I happen to like the remake, not the one Danielle watched. I haven't seen that yet. But there was a remake in 1993 with Jeff Bridges, Kiefer Sutherland, Nancy Travis, and Sandra Bullock. It's the same movie. And that's the one that I saw first. I've only seen this original one, you know, in the past week. But I've seen this other one, this remake, like years and years and years ago. I think I've seen it two or three times. I always loved it. And now that I've seen the original. Is it called the same thing? It's also called The Vanishing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just a different year. I personally happen to like the remake with Jeff Bridges much better. Mm-hmm. He does a wonderful job making this character, taking over this persona of this kidnapper. Got some like weird accent, something going on with his lip. I don't know. It's fascinating. But I just, you know, him and Kiefer Sutherland going at it, it was tremendous. And what was weird is when I went to go rent this on Amazon Prime, when I was looking it up, I went to go rent it, but the screen card, like the image in the background that said 1988, it has a picture of Nancy Travis dressed as a waitress on it. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's the 1988 movie, but you're showing me a picture from the 1993 remake. So somebody at Amazon dropped the ball.
But yeah. Oh, anyway, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I noticed still that liked too. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, oh, God, the remake has horrible reviews.
God, I don't see how. I really like that one. Huh. Maybe we should do one of those Who Did It Better?
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
Let's see.
For both of these, we could do Old Boy and The Vanishing.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, we could. All right. Jumping up to 2016, we're going to be watching another foreign film. This is 3 for 3 on foreign films. And this is I think this is the last foreign film of the bunch, but this one's called, it's 2016, Under the Shadow. After Shadeh's building is hit by a missile during the Iran-Iraq war, a superstitious neighbor suggests that the missile was cursed and might be carrying malevolent Middle Eastern spirits. I believe they call him Dajin, maybe something like that. I think somebody refers to him as that. She becomes convinced a supernatural force within the building is attempting to possess her daughter, Dorsa, and she has no choice but to confront these forces if she is to save her daughter and herself. This is I don't know. I didn't really see where it was made, but it definitely set in Iran during the Iran-Iraq war of the early 80s. And it's fascinating to me, the different culture, and some of that comes into play, like when she's running down the street with her daughter because they got scared at night. She took her daughter and ran out of the apartment and ran down the street, but she had forgot to put her headscarf on, and the Iranian religious police pull her over and arrest her for not having her headscarf on. I thought that of all the stuff she has to worry about, including their whole city of Tehran being bombed, or whatever city they're in, being bombed constantly, and their building being rocked, and then all this haunting that's happening in the building. She also has to worry about like putting on the proper headscarf while she's terrified running down the street. I thought that this was very well done. I thought the main girl, I think her name, or the name, main actress, Narges Rashidi, thought she was really good in it. The daughter, I thought was good. I thought it was an interesting story the father, the husband, he gets sent off to war. He's a doctor, and he gets sent off. He gets called up for the war to work in a hospital on the front line. And he tells his wife to leave, go and stay with his parents that live outside the city, but she doesn't want to leave their home. She thinks she should stay. She doesn't believe that there's going to be any, you know, problem where they live, that all the main bombing. Yeah, they don't live in Tehran. They live someplace else. And she thought all the main bombing was going to be in Tehran. But come to find out, Tehran's been bombed and bombed and bombed. So now they're moving on to the next city to start bombing it. By the time, and she never does leave. You know, she could have left at any time and didn't, which is a little frustrating. But I thought it was an interesting, I thought the haunting, whatever this creature is that's in the house haunting them, reveals itself in different ways. And I thought it was pretty creepy. And there was a very effective scene where the mom is going up the stairs and turns around and sees just this like figure in, I can't remember what the, it's a, the whole full, what's the thing in Muslim countries the women have to wear that covers everything? I can't remember what it's called now, but at any rate, it's just one of those, and it goes flying into the house like a crazed supercharged ghost. I thought there was some pretty effective stuff. I don't think it was perfect. I gave it 3.5 cuts, but I thought it was a really interesting film. I love seeing horror movies from different cultures. And you don't see a lot of horror movies set in Muslim cultures. And so it was, I thought it was interesting. And of course, a piece of history that the Iran-Iraq war, very different setting than what we're, than what I'm used to seeing films set in. I think the, you know, cinematography was great. I liked the ending. I liked, there's this idea that if these creatures, whatever they are, these haunting creatures, if they have a piece of something of yours, then they can find you wherever you are. And so I thought that was a pretty creepy film. So Danielle, what did you think of this one, Under the Shadow?
So what year is this from?
2016.
I'm kidding. I did watch this one. I did. I did watch it. I did watch it. No, I really liked this movie a lot. Like what you said, Matt, I like to see horror films. Like, what is horror in different cultures? Yeah. You know? And I was surprised, actually, how good it was. Like, at first, I was like, I don't know about this, you know? But I really liked it. The cinematography, I really loved. I love how they cut in some things where she was, like, laying on the bed. And then, like, she leaned up, and then it, like, went to, like, it flipped to the next scene, or it flipped to her. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. I loved that.
Yeah. Very well shot.
Also, yeah, I love the colors and I love the sets, and it felt very like it was in that time frame, you know. So
right,
or that decade,
authentic 80s.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And I still was confused as to why she didn't leave too. Like, yeah, she just seemed like she just didn't like her husband or something. I don't know. She didn't want to go to her mother-in-law's house. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. I liked the ghost, or the, what did they call it? Dijin thing? Dijin?
Yeah, I think that's ghost. What they referred to it as. Yeah.
But the thing that kind of like threw me off a little bit, and maybe it's just because I'm a clothing designer and this kind of bothered me, was that the entity or the ghost, the fabric was printed with like a weird print on it, and it just looked like a sheet to me. Like, I think it would have been better if it was a solid color, and it would have been more ethereal looking, like maybe something that was like opaque, kind of a little bit see-through. It just threw me off. I just felt like, why is there someone running around with a sheet on? You know, it had like this kind of like black print on it that looked like leaves or something like that, you know? And I was
almost like camouflage.
It was, I don't know. But again, it could just be because I'm a clothing designer and I look at things like that. And I just kept thinking, oh, that's a pretty fabric. Why is that ghost wearing such a pretty fabric? you know? And then the other thing that I thought was interesting is they kept taping up the windows, you know? Yeah. And I was like, they only put like two pieces of tape on there. Like, that's going to keep the window from coming in. Like, is that, I didn't know if that's a real thing or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't, I think it keeps it from shattering. That's all. Yeah. But that is a common thing. The big X of tape on windows.
But that'll hold it, really?
It won't hold it. It'll keep it from shattering all over the room. You know what I mean? Like when it'll keep the vibrations from it, the glass just shattering everywhere. It'll at least stay together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Yeah. No, I liked it. I thought it was really, really good.
Joe.
I really enjoyed the last 10 minutes of this film. I can't say that I felt the same way about the first 70 minutes. The main character, Shade, is that her name? Is that how you say it?
I think so. Yeah. Shade.
I realize she's under an awful lot of stress, being a mother, being a wife, war going all around you, also being haunted. But she's not a very likable character in most instances. I know it starts off, she's getting some really terrible news how she can't carry on being a doctor or pursuing medicine. But like that night when her husband sort of accuses her of possibly sleepwalking, she just turns into the biggest bitch. And that's my note, is like, wow, whatever you do, don't ever accuse her of being a sleepwalker.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I think she just didn't like her husband. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think she likes her daughter either, because there's that scene where her daughter wets the bed and she's another total bitch about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think
the subtext is, though, that she's unhappy because she can't do what she wants to do. Her husband gets to be a doctor. Her husband gets to do all these great things.
Her daughter and she probably is
smarter than her husband. and she doesn't get to because of this new regime in Iran that won't let women do this, you know? Oh, it's not that they don't let women do it. She can't because she was political in college. And so they won't let her go to college. I think that is a result of her being unhappy in life because she's being forced to be a housewife, you know, when she wants to have a career.
Yeah.
I would have thought that just doing the jazzercise every day would have been enough to bring some joy into her.
Yeah.
Which I was thrilled about.
Yeah.
I was also thrilled to see the Oh, Don't Go by Yaz in the film.
Yeah.
All right. They got great taste.
Yeah. They had some good music there, I guess.
Yeah. I really liked, there's a scene where, and again, this is towards the end, probably in that last 10 minutes that I really liked, where Dorsa, the daughter's like under the bed and Shanae is going to like grab her and she gets possessed and like her whole head becomes just like a mouth, just like teeth over her entire face.
So I'm creepy.
Like, oh my God, that's such a great graphic. I love that.
Yeah.
So that was so really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't know that this is something I would ever have a real, like a desire to watch again. I don't think the last 10 minutes was good enough for me to give this one a second watch.
I liked way more than the last 10 minutes of it. I liked it throughout, so I would probably watch it again, but I don't base my appreciation of films that much on how much I'm going to rewatch them, but because there's some great movies I really don't want to see that much. But I think they're fantastic movies. Is that it?
Yeah, that's okay. All I got.
All right. Well, then let's move on to 2020. And this was, I really enjoyed this movie. I loved it. It's very much in my wheelhouse of weirdness. And that is The Bloodhound, directed by Patrick Picard. And I've never seen any movie that he's done. I don't think he's done that many, to be honest. But this was an interesting film, very bizarre, starring Liam Aiken, Joe Adler, who I don't really remember seeing before, but he was in The Maze Runner, and he was in, I think, the Twin Peaks, The Return. But I don't remember ever seeing him before, but he has almost a almost like a John Malkovich vibe to him, or who's the guy from Boogie Nights with the red hair that died just recently? I can't remember his name, but
Oh God,
how can I not remember his name? But he just died like a year ago or so. I'm looking it up right now. But he had this quality that just, it was such a strange guy. But Philip Seymour Hoffman. He had a Philip Seymour Hoffman vibe to him. Yes,
definitely.
I didn't really see the huge connection between this, but it has a lot to do with, it's basically a take on The Fall of the House of Usher and by Edgar Allan Poe. And from what I've read, there's a lot of references to Poe in this. I didn't really catch them, but I guess the Cask of Amontillado or Amontillado is in there and a few others, you know, in some way. But there was the very creepy character that is just that he describes as he has a mask on, but the main character describes him as having. He knows that under that mask, the guy has the face of a dog and the face of a pig. And he just crawls on his belly around the neighborhood and in through this guy's house. And it's so bizarre. I don't know who he is or what he is. I don't care to know. I just know that I'm sure he symbolizes something. I don't know what, but it's such a creepy image. And then there was a point at night where the guy who's come to visit him is sleeping, and the main character's the guy who owns the house, his sister comes crawling into the house, and it's so bizarre the way it's shot. It makes her look almost ginormous just the way it's shot. I think it was just the angle, but I thought this was fascinating. There were a lot of shots and transitions that reminded me a hell of a lot of Kubrick, of course. There's a lot of slow push-ins with the camera and then very slow transitions from one scene to the next where they kind of overlap, very Kubrickian, but it looks great. It's very strange, creepy atmosphere more than anything actually happening. And I loved the ending, which I won't reveal. And I don't think we should reveal, but I loved the ending. The note that is left at the end, I thought was just perfect and kind of made everything else sort of make sense. Joe, what did you think?
It's funny you say that because my last note was actually what was written on the note. So I guess I won't read that. Did Edgar Allan Poe write a lot about two guys wrestling in sleeping bags?
No.
I must have missed that in The Fall of House of the Usher.
No.
That was so funny.
I loved it. It was the best.
I loved this film. By the way, in case we forgot, this was on Amazon Prime.
Right.
The Bloodhound. And there's such bizarre characters. And
yeah,
they're almost like without emotion.
Yeah.
Especially the guest. I think it's really, JP reminds me, he looks like Thomas Dolby.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was really weird when he asks a guest to take off their shoes when they come into the house. And he has this giant library of shoes. But before he goes and takes his guest shoes to put it away, he has to smell them deeply.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, does he do that with everyone's shoes? That's just so bizarre.
Well, and then it makes you wonder, where are all the people whose shoes are in his closet? Where
are these all his? Go? Or what happened to those people?
Yeah.
I thought it was really bizarre, too. That like, I'm starting to get really uneasy when he says to JP, we've got all of your stuff and we've moved it into our storage. My thought was, how did they even... JP never told him where all of his personal belongings were stored. I mean, he said, like, somewhere in Burbank.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And Matt's house in Burbank.
How did you find that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
There's some dream logic to a lot of this, you know.
I'm totally on JP's side. When I saw that, was it Pizza Fund? I totally would have snatched every bit of that and found my shoes in the shoe library and just walked right out the door.
Yeah.
I still can't figure out why JP wasn't wearing pants at the end of this film. It's just bizarre. It's not a long watch, which I greatly appreciated.
I
think if it was much longer, I probably would have questioned a little bit more, but I was just enjoying the ride of the awkwardness and uneasiness that I was experiencing. It's so weird that his sister like never comes out of the room, and
right.
Yeah. It's just, you're uncomfortable from the very beginning. Yep. All the way through the end. So yeah, great pick. I like this one.
Thank you. This is one that, I mean, I'd never even heard of it before. It just kept popping up on all these lists when I was searching psychological horror. It just kept popping up. And then, you know, I kept seeing people saying, this is so weird, but I love it. And I'm like, well, if it's weird and lovable, I gotta have it. And 77 minutes, come on. Yeah. Danielle, what did you think?
I liked it. I have to admit that I'm working on, this is totally unrelated. Kind of related, but I'm working on my collections for next year. And so I was watching this movie to the right while I was working on stuff on the left. And I feel like I did miss like a lot of cool stuff, because you do have to pay attention to this movie. I think, you know, there's a lot of like, it is slow, you know, and then like something great will happen and then you can easily miss it like super fast, you know? Yeah. So, but I mean, that being said, what I did see, I did like it. I thought it was very interesting and weird and like, kind of Wes Anderson vibes a little bit.
Yeah. If he made a horror movie, sure. It'd be like this. Probably.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
God,
but
Owen
and the
Wilson.
Ending I thought was,
if Owen Wilson played the main character, that would have been great.
Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartz as JP.
No shoes, because he never wears shoes.
That's good.
And Gwyneth Paltrow is
the sister.
Yes, totally,
with her vagina candle.
That's just her.
I really like, I'm gonna go back and watch this one again, because I know I missed some things that were really interesting and good. So definitely I liked it. I really did like it. So this is a good one.
I really want to see the Wes Anderson version.
Yeah,
of this.
No, that would be awesome.
It felt like it for sure, you know? Yeah.
I'd love to see a sequel of this with just the guy crawling around on his belly. I'd love to just see, what is this guy doing? I want to see more of him.
I want to see like competitive sleeping bag wrestling.
Oh, that should be a sport.
I looked up and I'm like, what the hell is going on right now? I just see them wrestling and I'm like, oh my God, it's something I would have done as a kid for sure.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen that one, it is again called The Bloodhound, and it is on, I think it's just free on app on Amazon Prime. I think it's part of your Prime account if you have one. So
why did they call it The Bloodhound, do you think?
That I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Other than
you have to ask Wes Anderson.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we go, our final movie of this pick is from 2011, and this is the only one that I had seen before, but it's one of my favorite movies of the last several years, and I think this is an incredible film starring Michael Shannon, Jessica Chastain, I think, what's his name?
Did you give the title?
It's called Take Shelter. Katie Mixon, she was in, I don't know if you've ever saw what's Eastbound and Down. I think she's in that. I'm trying to find the guy. Oh yeah, Shea Whigham. He's been in tons and tons of stuff. He always plays an interesting character, and he plays this guy's buddy, right? Or is it his brother? I don't remember now, but it's fantastic. Plagued by a series of apocalyptic visions, a young husband and father questions whether to shelter his family from a coming storm or from himself. And Michael Shannon basically plays this guy who works construction of some kind. They're drilling somewhere, and it seems like maybe in the Midwest or the South. It's never really said. I have a feeling it's in the South because they
thought
they
it was go Ohio.
Was it in Ohio? Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. But it's directed by Jeff Nichols. Jeff Nichols has done a few things, The Midnight Special, Mud, nothing that I'd really seen before. And he hasn't done much since. So I would love to see this guy do some more stuff. Jessica Chastain's fantastic in it. But basically, Michael Shannon plays this guy. He starts having these dreams and visions that this horrible apocalyptic storm is coming. And it's going to be like he sees the multiple like twisters, tornadoes, some kind of oil rain. It seemed like to me, not acid rain, but some kind of, it's like raining oil. And he sees these weird flocks of birds and just, he has this feeling, this indescribable feeling that basically like the end of the world is coming. And or at least a storm that is so apocalyptic, it's he needs to build a shelter. So they have a storm shelter, but he decides to make it way bigger. And you start to wonder what's going on in the guy's mind, and whether or not all of this is just a psychotic break, if it's just anxiety, what is going on with this guy? And in the end, I think the ending, I really don't want to say too much about the ending because I think it's a little, I think you could look at it as a very straightforward ending, or you could look at it as a very symbolic ending. But I don't know if we should reveal the ending or not, but I
no,
love
don't,
the ending.
Don't.
I love yeah. the ending. It gives me goosebumps
yeah,
every single time.
Old boy.
Yeah, no, that's
we shouldn't
true.
Spoil. 12-year-old
I will
movie.
Say that the ending, though, is I don't want to say it makes the whole movie, but it really is a powerful ending, and I get goosebumps every time I see the ending. I've pulled up the ending just on YouTube. I just think it's a terrific ending. I think the performance by Michael Shannon is unbelievable. I think he's subtle and yet powerful. It's great. And I think Jessica Chastain, I love the choice that they made that the wife doesn't, you know what I mean? We could have seen the whole side of the wife, like getting upset with him or, you know, but she's so supportive. Like you can tell that even through all of this, there's real love between these two and she is there for him. And even though he's kind of going off the deep end, I just think it's a fantastic film. Danielle, what did you think of this?
Oh, I really like this one. I literally just watched it right before the podcast. Yeah, I loved this one. I thought it was really good. And I'd never even heard of this one either. And I was really shocked at how good it was, you know? I loved... Well, I think it's funny that you said when you were reading the description, it said a young husband. He didn't look that young to me. The wife looked younger, but he looked like he was kind of... He looked like he'd been working for a while and like he had a hard life, you mm-hmm. know? So
Michael Shannon,
I don't know why they said young.
Well, Michael Shannon
in the description.
Was young when this came out. He just he's looked like an old man since he was like in his early 20s. He just has that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I really liked it. I liked the ending. I don't know why they had to make the daughter deaf though. You know, but I like how it played in towards the end of the movie, though, you know,
I think it's a more it's just it made her a little more fragile and one more thing on his into his anxiety.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the feeling of
sense.
Needing to protect her because she is a little more vulnerable. And it's just interesting. It's interesting than just having a typical child, I think. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to give it to the wife. Like, if that were me, I think I'd be like, dude, we're committing you right now. Mm-hmm. And I sure as heck wouldn't have gotten into that bunker with him. And then she was so nice. She's like, you need to open the door now.
Right.
And he was like, no. And she's like, yes. I would have been losing my shit.
Yeah, yeah. It was so interesting. It was, and that was such a tense, like tense underplayed scene. It was
very good. Yeah.
Joe.
First off, I did look it up. It does take place in all of the filming was done in Ohio. I knew I had read that somewhere. There's a very good reason why the daughter was deaf. And I guess in the commentary, Michael Shannon and the director point out that this was supposed to be extremely important, that this daughter was not born deaf. This is something that just happened to them recently.
Oh.
And I think the reason that's important is because your daughter just goes through a life-changing event. This young, fragile little child now can no longer hear. That needs to be the central focus of every waking minute of your life. Making sure that she's taken care of, she's well-adjusted, she's protected, and then doing whatever you can to try to fix that new issue. That, when that is established, that makes his distraction of expanding the storm shelter that much more worse. How could you pay any attention to this psychotic idea you have about the storm shelter while your beautiful little daughter there can't hear your voice?
Yeah.
So I think it was important that they established that the daughter was deaf throughout this. I think that just made this pursuit of his that much more unnecessary, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I really love this movie. It's extremely well acted. The pacing is slow, but I understand why, and it's easy to forgive. I hope this isn't spoiling something. All I will say is there is a storm and then they're in the shelter and he opens up the doors. I was really hoping to see Hellfire and Brimstone, not Sunny Skies. I wanted him to be like so right. And then just like turn around downstairs and say, "See, I told you so. It's the apocalypse." See those four guys on the horses? That's what I wanted to have happen. What inevitably happened to his daughter or what she didn't get really bums me out. But that just shows how important that the little girl character was, at least to me in this film. I felt so bad for her. One other little trivial bit to note, when they had that scene in the, was it like a VFW or something? Where like a town hall and they were all serving food and sitting around eating and the fight breaks out. I guess all the people that were in the hall were just extras, local townsfolk.
Ah.
And they were told they were just going to be filmed. They were not told at all that there was a fight scene that was going to break out and that he was going to pretty much preach at everybody. So everyone's reaction is 100% authentic, which I thought was fantastic. So, yeah, great movie.
Wow.
I do enjoy that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it several times and I own it, which I didn't remember that I owned it until I looked on my movies that I have that I own on Amazon and I saw it there. So, all right. Well, those are my picks. Hopefully everybody enjoyed those. And if you would like to, there are a lot of theories about what the ending of Take Shelter, what was really happening there. And some people, I kind of take it straightforward myself, but there are a lot of theories out there if you want to look them up after you watch it. I think it's kind of interesting some of the theories people have about it. But I thought it was fantastic. I love the last couple lines, I thought they play on many different levels, so I can see a lot of different ways people could interpret it. So all right. Well, that brings us to Joe's pick, which is our next pick, and which will be 2 weeks from now. And then I believe, I think last time I made a mistake. I think I said that Joe has the next pick, and then we have room for Mark's pick after that, but we don't. Like, Joe, your pick will be recording on the 19th, and then our next episode will be January 2nd, which will be our top 10 of 2023. So,
which will come out on the 5th.
Which will come out on January 5th. Yeah. Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah.
You know, I should finish up the year.
Finish off the year, Joe. Take it away.
I'm not going to disappoint anybody. I had a thought for a theme that I figured nobody else would be doing this time of year, but I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm going to save it. I pulled an audible. I've changed my mind. I know I just disappointed Mark, but I am going to do something thematic, and I'm doing a franchise as well. We are going to watch all of the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies. So,
nice.
Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984. We're going to have to rent that one. And this is the one I'm looking the most forward to because I've never seen part two, but I've seen the clip called Garbage Day a million times and I still laugh at it. So I want to understand the context behind it. So next we're going to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, which is on Shudder from 1987. Then we're going to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, : Better Watch Out, which is on Plex. Mm. Then we're going to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night 4, : Initiation, from 1990, which is also on Plex. And lastly, Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker.
Oh my God.
Which is from 1992 and is also on Plex. So there you go.
Beautiful.
Happy holidays. Every Silent Night, Deadly Night that they've
made. They packed a lot of Silent Night, Deadly Night sequels into just... because I think the first one came out in 86?
84.
84. Oh. It was earlier than I thought.
So in 5 movies in 8 years.
Oh.
84 to 92.
Yeah, I had no idea there were so many of these.
I knew there were two. Were a few, but I didn't know how many. I didn't realize
Garbage
there were 5.
Garbage Day. Oh, I'm so looking forward to that.
I've only seen the first one. I've seen that a few times. But I've never seen
the first one stars, you know, Quad City's very own Linnea Quigley.
Right.
So
yeah, she gets impaled on some antlers.
Yeah.
Which I think we
brutal.
Talked about it a little bit the first
yeah,
but it was before we were doing actual picks like this, you know. I think we just
before we knew what we were doing,
right?
Yeah,
exactly. So
yeah, it was more like, hey Matt, did you ever see Silent Night, Deadly Night?
No.
Remember that one scene with Linnea Quigley?
Well, I think back then we were like, let's watch Christmas horror movies. Okay. And then you would watch horror movies that were set at Christmas, and I did, and then we just talked about them. We didn't actually watch the same ones all the time. So
we probably didn't even give the titles.
Probably not. Yeah. and we're still not doing that very well. I think we didn't really repeat the title at the end of our reviews, and somebody.
Well, anyone that missed anything, or if we missed anything, I got the list right in front of me.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Vanishing was from 1988. On Amazon.
No, I meant the new movies that we watched, but yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, what new movies?
Well, like when, at the beginning, remember that that one of the people on the CineScare fan page said, I wish you guys would, when you guys talk about the new movies you watched, I wish you'd repeat it at the end of your review, because sometimes I'm driving and I forget what the title is. And I've had that experience too, watching or listening to other podcasts. So I think he's right. You watched The Conference, right?
On Conference, Netflix. Which was on Netflix.
And you really liked that?
Yes.
Okay. And Deliver Us?
I watched... Oh,
That was me.
Danielle's. Yeah, that was Danielle's. Yeah. And, It's a Wonderful Knife.
Which was on Shudder.
That's on Shudder.
And The Exorcist. The Believer or whatever it was that was on Peacock.
Yeah, you don't have to watch it. And then
Skip that one, Mark.
Yeah, you can skip Chad Gets the Axe too. Yeah. And then the picks that we had this time were The Vanishing, Under the Shadow, The Bloodhound, Old Boy, and Take Shelter So, well, thank you, Danielle, for joining us. And everybody out there, you should be going to www.theoblongboxshop.com and check out all of the clothing that Danielle has designed. She's got, if you're a horror fan, she's got some great clothes on there based on, you know, homages to movies like Halloween and Friday the 13th, Crystal Lake lifeguard shirts, Haddonfield Garage shirts. What else?
The final girl defense, self-defense class.
Yeah. Yeah. Strode Babysitting.
Strode Babysitting Company. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So yeah. Got all those.
They're very incognito. That's what I like about them. They blend in. You're like, you can wear them to the office.
And, right.
You know, unless somebody's reading it, they're not going to know what you're wearing.
They might think it's a real place. Yeah. You know, you never know. Yeah. I should put a phone number on there.
Yeah. It's authentic.
I should put Mark's phone number on there. Not mine.
Ooh, that's even better.
Put Mark's phone number on there.
Yeah, put Mark on there.
Yeah. 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 Check out my website. And I'm very excited. I have two new licenses that I'm going to be doing next year, but I'm not ready to announce them yet because it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair to announce them on here before I announce them on my social media. So
yeah.
Soon, very soon.
Yeah.
Right. January.
I know about one of them, and it is super cool. Everybody's going to love it. And I've seen some of the mock-ups of the new designs, and they're going to be they're going to be awesome. So
they're going to be lit.
Yeah. And no, the leprechaun is not one of them, Joe.
Maybe next time.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Come on.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you for joining us, and I guess we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.